Hi, everybody. Welcome to Saturday. It is the 13th of April. Praise God. We're in James or Jacob chapter 5, and we're on verse 13. And I want to just say this. Go to tomandsarah@outlook.com. That's how to get a hold of me if you want to purchase any of my books. It's Tom and Sarah. Would be the author's name, my name, and then you would get them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com, and yeah, so you can get them there. If you want to get them from me, they're $20 for the books, and that's including the shipping. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, that's how to get a hold of me. If you want to give into this ministry, do the same thing. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like and share these videos or podcasts. It's a way that you can help out the ministry, and you can get the word out there that God is amazingly good. Okay, so I'm wearing my regular glasses today. I usually drive with these, but I can read out of them. Jacob chapter 5, verse 13. Are there any believers in your fellowship suffering great hardship and distress? Encourage them to pray. Okay, so you can look at Luke 18, 1 and 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. All right? Encourage them to pray. Are there happy, cheerful ones among you? Encourage them to sing out their praises. Encourage them to pluck the strings or to sing a psalm. All right? So if you're distressed, pray. Are you happy? Encourage them to sing out. So if you're distressed, you gotta pray. You can't become a navel gazer. Okay, you can't always look at your navel and think that you're gonna make this, or you're not gonna make it, and everything's falling apart around you. Nothing is ever just falling apart around you that you can't handle. Remember, God never gives you anything that you can't handle, and he gives you a way of escape. And then so if you're distressed, if you're discouraged, if you're experiencing the hardship, pray. Now, prayer is not just a list of Santa Claus list for Jesus, okay? That's not what it is. Prayer is a conversation with the Lord. Ready. You know, many of us can talk to a person, all right? Many of us talk to people, okay, about our distresses, our discouragements. And what we have to do is we have to get away from that. And we have to start coming into a place of full acceptance in the Lord and just talk to him about it. If you got a complaint about a brother, don't go to your brother. Go to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say that the Lord doesn't correct us, and he may say, well, this is what you're doing, or whatever. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, okay? Well, I'm in 1 Corinthians now, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, and then 14 and 15, and we'll read these real quick. This talking about sing songs of praise. So he says here, for if I'm praying in a tongue, my spirit is engaged in prayer, but I have no clear understanding of what's being said. So here's what I've concluded. I will pray in the spirit, but also pray with my mind engaged. I will sing rapturous praises to the spirit, but I will also sing with my mind engaged. You can pray in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit. So let's go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Wow, I got this little froggy in my throat. Good morning, frog. One day, 18:1. One day, Jesus taught the disciples to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. And then he talked to them about this person, this unjust judge. All right? So... If you need encouragement, pray. Keep praying. Don't lose hope, but keep praying. One version says, don't lose heart. And we get to do that sometimes. So you encourage people to sing their praises. Are there sick among you? Then ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith, the claim of faith at that point, okay, will heal the sick. This can also mean those who are weary, those who are worn down. It's not just dealing with physical sickness. It's talking about emotional sickness, weariness of the soul. All of these things are included in that heal the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. Okay, he will restore them to health. The wording here could also be a hint of the resurrection. Right, we don't know. And the Lord will raise them up, and if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. The church elders forgiving the arguing believers and restoring them back into fellowship. It's possible that that's what James is talking about here as well. And if they have committed these the doers of sin, the implication here is that as a result of the enemy being allowed to come in via sickness, via complaining, or all of that, you know, you have to understand that that can bring sickness in as well. God doesn't make people sick. God never says, you know, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. He never does that. But if we agree with the enemy, we empower him to make us sick. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, we can go back to Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus told the disciples to heal the sick. He didn't say pray for them. He said heal them. And we get to do that. I remember Tony Campola was sharing. Tony was a very strong Baptist at the time. Shares a story of how he was at this church preaching one time, and what happened was this woman came up to him and said, God told her in a prayer that that she was supposed to come, and Tony Campola was going to pray for her, and she was going to be healed. And Tony looked at her and just said, hey, you know, it would have been nice if God had told me. You know, a lot of times we feel that way. But we are commanded to heal the sick. And then so he looked at the pastor and said, what do we do? And he said, Tony, if you don't know what to do, then you got to do what the book says. So he went and he got the oil. He prayed for her and the woman was healed. He had no faith. He had a lack of faith. And he still was able to heal her. Sickness comes from the devil. Jesus paid for the sickness on the cross. Now, I was listening to the guy yesterday, and he was denouncing the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, he also died for sickness. And you know, it was really funny. He had a raspy voice, but toward the end of his message, God healed him of this thing. David said, he heals all of my diseases. Psalm 107, verse 20, he said, that's one of Psalm 103, 107, verse 20. God sent out his word and he healed them. So you got to get into the word. God's desire for healing, and this is another teaching altogether. You can go to it on my YouTube channel. I did a whole healing challenge for a month and talked about healing every day. You can go there. It is God's will to heal you. You don't have to question that. The prayer of faith. Now, this claim of faith, this prayer of faith is not a faith in you. It's believing that that God will do what he said he will do. Jesus said, if you ask anything in accordance with my name, I will do it. Excuse me. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If it's contained in his name, he will do it. And you can go through the redemptive names of Jesus to see that. Verse 16, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another. I love this. This is the Aramaic translation. It just, confess and acknowledge your faults to one another, your follies to one another, your offenses to one another. And then pray for one another to be instantly healed or restored. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a strong believer, a prayer within a prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So you agree and acknowledge with one another that you've been offended. Now, I want to tell you that our society today is very geared toward offense. Oh, that offended me. In World War II, there was this picture of a sailor getting off the boat, and he just kisses this random woman, the first woman he sees. It could have been his girlfriend. We don't know. But he kisses her, and that's been around since the 40s. And so somebody got offended by that picture. Well, that's a picture of a man who's kissing a woman, an unwanted kiss. And I'm like, she didn't look like it was unwanted, but it's been there for 40 years. And one person got offended, so they take it down. This cancel culture we have to press the delete button on this. You know, if somebody wronged me, you suck it up. You take that to the Lord. That's what the point is. You take it to the Lord and you confess, hey, listen, that offended me. Or, hey, I'm sorry, I offended you. Jesus said that if you bring a gift to the altar and you realize that you have ought, your brother has ought against you, go and be reconciled first. So what's the point? The point is to be reconciled. The point isn't just to cancel everything. The point is to be reconciled. That's God's plan. That's God's desire. And you will instantly be healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us. But he prayed and received supernatural answers. He prayed with intense prayer, and he received the supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the skies opened up over the land, and the rain came again and produced the harvest. So understand that your prayers have power, and that you have the ability to pray the heart of Jesus, but you have to get his heart. Next week, we're talking about hearing the voice of God, and you can listen to those. Finally, as members of God's beloved family, we must go after the one who wanders from the truth and bring him back. For the one who restores the sinning believer back to God from the error of his way gives back to his soul life from the dead. This is translated from the Aramaic, and it saves his soul from death. He gives back his soul life, resurrects him, so to speak, and covers over countless sins by the demonstration of the blood. He brings forgiveness through that restoration. This is kind of like going back to the atonement, you know. You release that man, and you... from the error of his way, and you bring him back. I've had that opportunity, and it's really quite fulfilling when they get back with the Lord. So understand what God's heart is here. God's heart is that you would have his heart. God has given each of us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to God, reconciling people to each other, and reconciling you to yourself. That is our ministry. faith is a big deal. Faith is not faith in you, you having faith in yourself. Your faith is in the one who is ever faithful. Hebrews 11:11. She believed him who made the promise. So believe him who made the promise. If you haven't received yet your promise, be patient. God will bring it. If God said it, it'll happen. You speak out. You speak out your you speak out your what do you call it? Yeah, you speak out your promise, and you thank God. Once you have the promise, you thank God for it. Once you have your promise, you thank God for the promise. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ. All right, that's the end of James, and I want to thank you for joining me. Next week, we're going to talk about hearing God's voice, hearing God, and you can get that simply by, simply by listening and watching what God does. And watch what God does in that process. And so thank him for it and everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. All right, that's it for today. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, and that's how you get a hold of me. Okay? Well, God bless you. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.